America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage. What's that? Time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
All right, News from the Nest here on this Featured Artist Friday, which is The Grateful Dead. Want to pick a song, send it to the Plaza for text line at 410-583-1057. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, Vinny's off today. He'll be back on Monday. John Harbaugh met with the media after yesterday's practice against the Pack and was asked the difference between joint practices and preseason games.
You know, it's a great question. In some ways, it might be better. You know, you get a little more of an isolated opportunity to look at guys situationally. One-on-one pass rush, that's a great drill to take a look at and evaluate, for instance. So, but they're both valuable, and we're happy to have the chance to do it.
And look, preseason games, Nolan, you don't see your starters, at least here in Baltimore, last week against Atlanta. What, the Falcons had 40 players not even dressed for the game, and we still saw some starters on the field for the Ravens and a rather tepid performance. Yesterday is as close as they're going to get. Is that fair to say? Real football ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Right, and I like the point he made there, especially about the line play, O-line and D-line or pass rush. You get into some of these preseason games, not only is it not starters playing, so you're already hesitant about the level of competition, but it's a lot of dump off screen passes, really quick short passes that they're running here in these preseason games. Your pass rushers never really have a real chance to get after the quarterback. So in these one-on-one drills, are they actually following through and sacking a quarterback? No, they're not touching them in the organized practice, but it's more of a realistic look at what an actual NFL play is going to look like in the regular season. I just think there's so many things about the preseason that shortchange you from real game action, and that's a perfect example right there.
And the Ravens get sick, like every other team does, of going up against each other over the course of 6 weeks preparing for a season. Lamar Jackson, we know about his resume. It's a strong one at that, but going up against a team that's trying to stop him from doing good things. John Harbaugh, number 8's performance was?
I thought he looked real good. Yeah, I thought Lamar looked great. I mean, I also think that the value of this thing, because he's coming back there telling me, you know, I should have done this, I should have done that. It's just another kind of a circumstance for him to be in where he can kind of get ready for the season.
Yeah, we're not going to see him under center for 13 days, and that's going to be on prime time, an AFC Championship game rematch against Patrick Mahomes, the guy that he's chasing for supremacy in the AFC in regards to quarterback superiority throughout the National Football League. Who knows what sort of celebrities will be there. I don't really give a bleep in regards to that sort of thing. But the pomp and circumstance is undeniable. And I would think Lamar's going to be fired up, ready to perform, because he understands the stage. And if the Ravens want to get to where they need to get to, Kansas City's that big roadblock for them.
And traditionally, throughout Lamar's tenure as a starter with the Ravens, they've done a great job of starting fast. And he usually plays some of his best ball there while it's still warm in that first month of the season. I think the only year where it was a little shaky, I would argue, was last year. And it wasn't even that bad. I'm not even saying it as a huge downside. But learning the new offense, I think there were some growing pains there that they admitted the entire time, yeah, this is going to happen. It's going to be a work in progress. Even in December, as good as they were then, there were still things to iron out. It gives me more confidence that this is now year two with Monken. So he isn't getting the preseason reps. He doesn't really need them. And he's not learning a new offense. I'm expecting him to be in contention for player of the month in September, as he has been many times.
Yes, no doubt about that. Roquan Smith has been maybe a guy this season, defensive player of the year worthy candidate. He's an all-pro, has been in Baltimore, was a stud in Chicago. Remember in Georgia, he was the Buckus Award winner as a first-round draft pick. But he participates in a practice, had a pick yesterday. John Harbaugh explains what the importance of a practice like that is, even for a guy like Roquan Smith.
No question. I was on the offensive field, so I didn't get a chance to see the defense or see that interception, but I heard about it. I think for Roe, Roe was looking forward to this practice, as were a lot of the guys. Lamar was looking forward to it. Zay, Isaiah. A lot of guys were looking forward to a chance to get out there and go against another team. It's valuable to do it. You can do it in games. We decided not to, so this practice takes on importance.
Well, Roquan Smith is important to this Ravens defense, and he came over midseason 2022 from the Chicago Bears, and his impact was immediate. He helped make Patrick Queen an all-pro and a highly paid one at that, now with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, he's the green dot guy. He's the best middle linebacker the Ravens have had since Ray Lewis, with all due respect to C.J. Mosley and others, Dwight Smith and others that have come in over the years. This guy is a stud in the prime of his career, and expectations for him and this Ravens defense is pretty enormous. But another issue, and we were talking a little bit about the concerns with the Ravens personnel-wise, Jonas Schaefer last hour. Are we more comfortable with Zach Orr? I mean, we haven't seen him in real game situations yet. So I'm not overly concerned with him. But then again, I think it's fair to have a little bit of, all right, you've never called plays before. What are we going to expect to see from this guy once Andy Reid starts flipping pages in that playbook of his?
Right, and that was a concern for me at the time of the hire, but since we've been in the preseason, there's really been no indication in the two games that they played that he's ill-equipped or outmatched in any regard. Looks the part. There's nothing about what he's done from a play-calling standpoint that stands out as a obvious red flag. When you play games that matter, it's a whole different beast, so we'll see what happens there. But as we've stressed this entire offseason, having that Roquan Smith-like player to be your on-field coach makes the life of a defensive coordinator that much easier.
Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Featured Artist Friday, Grateful Dead. Vinny's off today. It is news from the nest. All right, let's get to a problem for the Ravens. Maybe they're narrowing down who the starters are going to be, but does that mean the production's going to be acceptable and worthy to protect Lamar and open holes for Derrick Henry? So, Harpty, what's up with that O-line of yours?
I mean, they were bringing bull rushes and games and physical games in there, and our guys were stout, passing that stuff off really well. I mean, you're not going to be perfect, and Lamar definitely holds the ball. Lamar was not looking to run. You know, he was looking to stay in there and throw. I think he probably would run more in a game than he did today, and that's a problem for the defense too. But from what I could see, I was standing there, I can't wait to see the tape, but I was happy with how firm the pocket was, 90% of the time.
All right, well, the reports we were getting in real time, this is mainly from a Green Bay perspective, and I guess you slant it one way or another. The Green Bay reports coming out of Ray Nitschke Field were via Twitter, X, whatever the hell that is now, they were like the 85 Bears getting after Lamar, who was running for his life, not by design. And John Harbaugh made it sound like, no, nothing to see here. Please disperse.
Yeah, it almost sounded like...
They were watching two different things.
Well, or he's trying to convince himself that, well, if it's a real game, Lamar will actually take off and get positive yardage and we'll sustain drives that way. But that's not sustainable. And Lamar has played behind bad lines in his career. 2021 stands out, the year that they had Villanueva holding down a tackle spot.
Oh, so yeah. He got sacked a lot last year.
Yeah, yeah. So he's played behind shaky lines before, but just from an on-paper perspective, right now, without playing a game, this could end up being the worst line he's been behind.
And finally, from John Harbaugh, tomorrow preseason finale against the Pack, 1 o'clock hour time. Any starters rolling there, Harbsy?
Yeah, we've kind of announced we're kind of on the same path that we've been on throughout the preseason so far, so we'll kind of stick to that plan.
That means no. No starters tomorrow, and I have zero problem with that. If you're of a certain age, the first year of the 16-game season, 1978, Ted Marchibroda had Burt Jones out there in the fourth and final preseason game. Bubba Baker sacked him, separated his shoulder. He was never the same after that. But Anthony Richardson was playing last night. Guy coming back from a shoulder injury. Will we see Watson this weekend? And Russell Wilson said, I'm playing tomorrow. So I guess, no, hey, Patrick Mahomes has played this preseason, throwing passes behind his back. I guess it's up to the coach and his comfortability with his personnel. And not, I don't want to say you're coaching scared, but I'd be cautious like Harbs myself.
Right. I mean, there's guys on the team that do need to play, O-line in particular. I'm sure they'll probably give those guys a little more run tomorrow. But into the second half, we'll see. And let's just be honest here about recent Ravens history. What's the only thing that's derailed them and prevented them from making the playoffs in the Lamar era? Injuries to Lamar and many other key players in 21 and 22.
Right.
If those things don't happen, or at least Lamar in particular, they make the playoffs both of those years. What they do in the postseason, I can't tell you, but they would have been there. So health has been the key thing. That's been the only factor that stopped the Ravens here in recent history. So yeah, I'm not playing starters. Why would I?
Oh, my memory's not that great. I remember old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any injuries in the AFC Championship game that may have impacted the outcome of that thing there?
Not that I know. Hey, they'll be there. They'll be in the playoffs. What they do from that point, that's on them.
No doubt about it. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. We'll come back, count our weekend money as we're ready for it. It's going to be a beautiful weekend weather-wise with some crustaceans. You're going to go out partying, doing whatever it is you got to do. You're going to have some extra money. We'll find out. Buy or sell. Jacob Calvin Meyer from the Baltimore Sun. We'll talk about the struggling Orioles who lose last night 6-0. Baltimore baseball tonight for Game 2 of the Astros series. Tonight at 6, me, Mike Bordick, Nolan McGraw live for Pickles. It's Gunner bobblehead night. I'm guessing it's going to be mobbed in downtown Baltimore.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Tomorrow.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Finney and Haney. 1057 The Fan.
Finney and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's the Grateful Dead, as chosen by you, the people. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw. Orioles taking on the Astros tonight, 705 Oriole Park, Camden Yards. Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, joining us in a few minutes to preview that and look at the struggles of the Orioles, 25-30 in their last 55 games. But before we get to the sports, Nolan, let's count that dough, shall we? Weekend money at that, by yourself.
All righty here. S&P 500 is green today. It's up 32.36. NASDAQ also green, up 152. Under Armour green. Can we do a sweep here? Under Armour's up 17 cents. And DraftKings, oh, they're green as well. It's a clean sweep across the board, up 78 cents for DraftKings.
Super terrific.
As far as the sports topics here, I'm going to start off with the tough pronunciation here. I'm looking here at Florida State. I'm looking at Florida State quarterback. I used to know him from Clemson. DJ
Uiagalelei.
You said it. Uiagalelei. Yeah. That's the only time I'm saying it. He's DJU from now on.
Yeah.
Well, he was supposed to be that next great quarterback at Clemson, replacing Trevor Lawrence at the time. His time with the Tigers didn't really pan out or lead directly to a path to the NFL. Now finds himself with Florida State for his final year of eligibility after spending last year with Oregon State. Really the last opportunity for him at 23 years old. Is yet to surpass 2,700 yards in his collegiate career. But buy or sell, Bob, the time for DJ to become a legit NFL prospect has already passed.
I'm going to sell that because he's got the big measurable skills. And if I remember correctly, his freshman year, Lawrence missed a game. I believe it was at Notre Dame, and he played well enough to keep them in that. Has he evolved into, if he was everything he was supposed to be when he took over for Lawrence, he'd be in the NFL already instead of on his third college team. But I don't think the door has closed. Hey, look, Jordan Travis had a monster season for them last year, and then his injury basically got them cundiffed out of the Final Four, Florida State, and then they got drubbed in the bowl game. But I think old DJ Uiagalelei, if that's what it is, he's got a chance to, you know, impress some pro scouts this year as Florida State's trying to bounce out of the ACC.
Well, earlier this week, I highlighted Shohei Ohtani and his quest for a third MVP award and how he's going to become just the sixth 40-40 player in MLB history. Well, when you talk about the stolen base aspect of that equation, no one in the league runs better than Ellie De La Cruz. Since his arrival last year, he's shown the ability to turn a bloop single, even a walk, into a quick trip around the base paths. So far this season, a league-high 60 stolen bases for him. And don't sleep on the power either, 22 blasts for him on the year. Buy or sell, Bob, De La Cruz will be a 40-40 player himself before his career is over.
Oh, 100% buying it. Now, I'm not going to get all crazy and get into hyperbole, say multiple times, but he will absolutely be that dude. He is a tremendous young player, and I mean, the sky's the limit. He hasn't even scratched the surface of how good this dude's going to be.
Yesterday, the Commanders surprised quite a few people by trading Jahan Dotson to the Eagles. And while Dotson has yet to fully blossom into a stud wide receiver, he has made an impact with the reps he's gotten, 500 yards a season, 4 to 7 touchdowns a year, and doing so with lesser talent at the quarterback position. Well, now he finds himself in a stacked Philadelphia offense, but that also comes with other mouths to feed, two top wide receiver options, Dallas Goedert at tight end as well. Buy or sell, Bob, Dotson will actually have a statistical regression in his new home because of the crowded offense.
I'm going to sell that. I think change of scenery, a more reliable quarterback situation, we think, in Jalen Hurts. He is by far the number three option behind A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. But didn't A.J. Brown have some issues there towards the end with Hurts and Sirianni and all that? No, I think Dotson will have the best year of his NFL career. There you go.
We'll move over to the NBA, the Knicks' longstanding championship drought. It's made them the mockery of the NBA at times, but with Jalen Brunson leading the way, the new version of the Knicks seems as capable as any to finally end that drought. Hall of Famer Walt Frazier, he agrees with that sentiment and even drew some parallels between the championship teams he played for in the 70s and the 2024 Knicks. The quote here from Frazier says, "I see a lot of similarities, starting with the coach. He's a lot like Red Holtzman, holds the guys accountable, they're defensive-oriented, and the players actually like each other." Also praised Brunson for handling the pressure in New York and said he has a chance to be the greatest Knick ever. Are you buying or selling Frazier's comps between his teams and today?
Well, let's see. I'm thinking back to those Knicks teams of the 70s. And by the way, and I like to rub this in Knicks fans' faces, like the Knicks have their screaming A. Smiths and the Spike Lees and all these John McEnroe, these big celebrity fans. They don't have the bandwagon fans that the Lakers have. You know why? Because they haven't won an NBA title since the Bullets were still in Baltimore. Literally, the last year the Knicks won was 1973. They beat the Baltimore Bullets in the playoffs that year, as a matter of fact. But DeBuscher, Bradley, Walt himself, Willis Reed, and some Hall of Famers on that team. And how many Hall of Famers are on the New York Knicks 2024-2025? And Jalen Brunson, the greatest Knick of all time? Hey, let's pump the brakes on that one. But they're still behind Boston. Philadelphia's got a revamped-looking team. That all depends on the health of Joel Embiid. We'll see if Lillard and Antetokounmpo can find a little more synergy here. I mean, they're good. They went unceremonious to Indiana in the playoffs, but, you know, let's pump the brakes on them being, you know, the greatest Knicks of all time, et cetera. So they're not even the best team in the conference, much less the greatest Knicks team ever. It's Vinny, with all due respect to Walt Frazier, who has a hell of a tennis shoe by Puma. By the way, we'll come back, talk Orioles, Jacob Calvin-Meyer from the Baltimore Sun, reset the show, get you to NFL lunch, going to hear from Isaiah Likely. A lot of us think he's going to have a big year, or will he? It all depends on whether Lamar can spread the wealth with Likely and Andrews and Flowers. American League East report, then Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, preview the upcoming college football season, which starts tomorrow in Dublin, Florida State, ranked number 10 against Georgia Tech. We start at 6. We'll be there much earlier than that because it's going to be crowded. It's Gunner bobblehead. It's going to be a packed house. So stop by and say hello. However, Orioles on the field, not as exciting as tonight. It's expected to be a Pickles Pub. Here to talk about that, covers the Orioles and Major League Baseball for the Baltimore Sun. Let's welcome back to the show Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Jacob, good afternoon. What is up?
Hey, are you going to have more beers at Pickles than Orioles have hits tonight? Is that the question?
Oh, I bet the over on me.
Yeah.
Because apparently Hunter Brown has been dealing. Yeah. And we'll get into that. But since you brought it up, Orioles, June 20th, 17-5 over the Yankees. They're 24 games over 500. Then the next night, they lose 14-11 at Houston, right? Adley Rutschman's 5-for-5, batting average over 305. Now, Adley rolls into this matchup against the Astros 2 months later. hitting 262. The power numbers have dwindled dramatically. Only three homers since June. So, Jacob, you follow the team. You're there. You see him every single day. Why the offensive, steep offensive decline for Adley?
Yeah, I think it's complicated, right? It would be easy to point to one thing, and it would be nice if there was one solution. But I think there's a lot of factors here, so I'll just list a couple. One, players go through slumps, right? This happens. We've seen it with everybody on this team. Every player in Major League Baseball goes through slumps. Now, this is a more extended one for him. There is some bad batted ball luck. That, you know, he's not hitting the ball super hard, but I'm pretty sure if you look at his batting average on balls in play, it's like 150 in the past 2 months. That is something that tends to normalize, and that is an indicator that he's getting a little bit unlucky. He got hit in the hand. I don't remember if it was a pitch or a foul tip in late June. Since then, he's been struggling. It doesn't appear like he's going through anything there, but if you look at his numbers since then, they've been really bad. He was dealing with a lower back thing recently. Again, he's a catcher. August is probably the toughest month for catchers, considering the heat. It's been a long season. There's a lot of factors here. I think the most likely outcome is that within the next couple of weeks, you start to see him break out. Adley Rutschman, in his first two MLB seasons, was basically an 800 OPS guy on the dot. And I would still put my money on him ending the season in that range, and him getting hot here sometime in the final 6 weeks of the season. But you're right, it has not been great the last 2 months.
All right, now Ryan Mountcastle, he has been terrible at the plate, and he does still produce some runs, but the power numbers, the home runs in particular, Jacob, they've disappeared. He hasn't homered since July. Is he a victim of Baltimore? I mean, he's not really driving the ball much anywhere, home or away. Where has the power gone for old Mountie here?
Yeah, geez, I mean, you start with Rutschman, then you go to Mountie. We can just go through the whole line.
Yeah, I think we might, as a matter of fact.
I don't know how much time you have. I actually, StatCast yesterday, I don't know if you saw, it came out with some really interesting numbers about the wall in left field, where they track exactly how many home runs a particular hitter has lost to the wall, and then how many home runs that have been saved by pitchers. And it will be no surprise to anybody that Ryan Mountcastle is first on that list since that wall was pushed back, that he's had the most home runs stolen away from him. That is, of course, a factor. But at the same time, the power numbers generally the past few years haven't been where they were when he hit, 33 over 30 when he was in 2021. And so he's still hitting the ball hard. And if you notice, he hits the ball really hard to right center and right field a lot. He actually tends to hit lineouts to the warning track in right field quite a bit. I think a challenging thing for Mountcastle is the mental part of hitting at Camden Yards, because, you know, it has to be difficult to see how far away that wall is, get robbed by it so many times, and not, you know, kind of get outside yourself and maybe change who you are as a hitter a little bit. And that has led to some hitting the ball to the opposite field more, which is good. But at the same time, it probably has reduced some of the power numbers. And it's not just a flip you can switch on and off. It's not like he can be one type of hitter. It's not like he can be one type of hitter at home and one type of hitter on the road. So the power numbers have not been as good the past couple years for him.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, talking Orioles here on the Fan. Bob Haney with you. Featured artist Friday. And I don't want to keep it all negative, but the last one, the injuries have been catastrophic, especially in the rotation. The Eplin one, Jacob, seemed to come out of nowhere. I mean, how much more can that clubhouse handle when it comes to injuries, especially given the fact that Eplin seemed like he was going to be the savior to an already depleted rotation here?
Yeah, the difficult thing is they don't really have a choice. You kind of just have to keep trucking along here. And, you know, the Orioles were very fortunate in the injury department in 2022 and 2023. I believe they were bottom five in baseball in terms of injured days, days on the IL those 2 years. And so those are things that tend to regress. And so it's not particularly surprising that they've struggled with the injury bug this year. If you probably asked the front office, it was probably an expectation of theirs. The positive thing with Eflin is it does seem to be relatively minor. He does expect to be back right after his IL stint ends, so he will probably start the first or second day of September. And so This isn't a situation like it is with Grayson or with Danny Coulomb or Jordan Westberg, where they're really threading a tight needle with those guys, where it's, they want them to come back before the end of the regular season so that they can get some time before the playoffs. But you just don't know how those things are going to heal, how Grayson's shoulder muscle is going to heal, how Westberg's, you know, the Berg bones in his hand are going to heal. That's all difficult stuff. And so, but on the flip side of that, if they do get some positive injury luck moving forward, in terms of they have no more injuries, and all of those guys, those three guys, Grayson and Westberg and Coulomb, and then Jacob Webb and Eflin, they all come back and they're healthy and they perform like themselves the rest of the season, that's about as big of a boost that any team in Major League Baseball could get in September. And then you start to think of what the playoff rotation and what the bullpen and what the lineup would look like, and you can start to, you know, maybe convince yourself that there's a run here if those guys can come back healthy.
Now, Jacob, in the immediate, assuming there's a safe situation tonight, hey, look, the Orioles blowing another team out, that wouldn't be a bad thing to watch on a Friday night, quite frankly, throughout the weekend, but safe situation tonight for the Orioles, who gets the ball?
I don't get paid enough to make my guess would be Dominguez. I don't know why they would stray from that at this point. I will say this. I don't think, like, Dominguez is not the closer right now. Like, it's not, no matter what, period, point blank, he's getting the ninth. That's just how it's worked out. I do think that as of right now, it is, again, this is just speculation on my part, that it is sort of a dual closer role between him and Perez. And what I mean by that is, if Perez isn't used earlier in the game to face a lefty pocket, and there's a lefty pocket in the ninth, Brandon Hyde will absolutely go to him. I firmly believe that, even if Dominguez is up. I just think the way it's worked out, because they're kind of short with lefties in the pen. I mean, if Vespi still, he pitched yesterday, and or Keegan Aiken comes back, you know, that gives them another one. But it's likely Dominguez, but if there's a lefty pocket, I mean, if Yordan Alvarez is due up in the ninth, like, it would not surprise me whatsoever for C.N.L. Perez to pitch in the ninth. And if you remember, actually, last year, I don't know why this just popped into my head, but I'm pretty sure C.N.L. Perez got a save in Houston, a close game, and I'm pretty sure he struck out Yordan Alvarez on three pitches in that game. And so my guess is Dominguez, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's Perez.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun, talking Orioles. Last thing for you, Jacob. You've seen the Orioles, obviously, on a daily basis. You've seen New York multiple times. You've seen Cleveland. Astros are 4-0 against the Orioles. Records aside, is it fair to say that on August 23rd, the Astros are the best team in the American League?
That's a great question. No.
Okay.
I'd still say the Yankees. But I'll say this. The Astros are likely going to get Kyle Tucker back before the end of the regular season. I believe they just got Verlander back. I think they have the opportunity, in a similar way to the Orioles, is what I mentioned with their injuries and getting guys back. I do think that there's a strong possibility that going into mid to late September, that the Astros are viewed that way across Major League Baseball as perhaps the best team in the American League because of how well they've been playing, the track record, and because they'll get, I mean, Kyle Tucker for the first couple months of the season wasn't just, you know, he's one of the best hitters in Major League Baseball. And so that would be a big boon to their lineup. And so right now I'd probably still lean with New York, but it wouldn't surprise me if in late September it's Houston.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, Baltimore Sun. Jacob, always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
You got it. Jacob Calvin-Meyer. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on this Featured Artist Friday. It's the Grateful Dead, man. We'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL Lunch, going to hear from Isaiah Likely and Daniel Faalele. You think he's going to be under the microscope this year? We'll get his thoughts on being, looks like, the starting right guard. We got the American League East report. Look at the scores from last night. Look ahead to today's schedule and a standings update. And then Jerry Palm, CBSSports.com, preview the upcoming college football season, which starts tomorrow in Dublin with Florida State against Georgia Tech. They resonate with a lot of people, millions of people. And we're heading into the final hour. Anything you want to hear from them, Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, 410-583-1057. Plaza Ford text line. Orioles did make a roster move today. Orioles sent Gunnar Henderson, Adley. Trade deadline's already passed. Get it? Even though we couldn't figure out that 7 plus 5 was 12 yesterday. We kept thinking it was 13. Damn, we're stupid. Like, really dumb. How about Vinny? I graduated from college, but I didn't take math. Not one math class in 4 years of college.
That's actually impressive.
Yeah. Something tells me Vinny probably didn't show up to school a lot. He was more on the practice field, if you know what I'm saying. But Keegan Aiken's back from the paternity list. Nick Vespi, who pitched well last night, sent back to Norfolk. As Mike Bordick said yesterday during BBT, those optionable pieces are always key to have. And Keegan Aiken was brilliant in his last outing. So he's back to the equation as the Orioles are trying to find some level of reliability in that pitching staff, whether it's your rotation or your bullpen. Are you worried, Nolan McGraw? And I don't want to say it's DEFCON 1, but Corbin Burnes has not seemed to be very Burnsy-like his last two outings here.
To be honest, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I thought last Friday, just the very uncharacteristic outing, the career worst stat line for him. All right, even the best of the best are entitled to a meltdown now and then. He'd prefer it not to happen this time of year, but I had full confidence that he was going to bounce back last night. And it was another rough go of things. So it's not encouraging at all, especially this time of year. And with the state the Orioles' rotation's in, there's really no room for error. He's supposed to be the guy that is the consistent piece. If everyone else is failing, he's still supposed to be the one guy you can count on, kind of like John Means in some of those bad years. You could always count on Means. This could be very concerning. I mean, as long as he's healthy, we'll take that at this point. I'll take him out there if he's going to give up, you know, four runs, better than, you know, not even being available at all. But as far as postseason outlook, not good at all.
Yeah, his earned run average has ballooned in his last two outings here. There was a story about Corbin Burnes in The Athletic this morning where he is going to test free agency. He is a Scott Boras client. He's from California, lives in Arizona. He did say that, you know, geography or geographic influence isn't going to play a part. He wants to get paid, obviously, but being on a team that contends the entirety of his career is important to him. And I don't know how much money Nolan David Rubenstein's willing to kick out, or if Mike Elias would even advise him into spending a long-term deal on a pitcher, which the old Bobster would be reluctant to do, 5 years tops, if I'm doing it, because Corbin Burnes, 29, you still get him in the prime of his career. But the Orioles kind of fit that profile with the core group that they have and the return from injury of all these guys that they still have prospects down on the farm that they're cultivating. I think the Orioles' window of competing for championships is a five-year window, especially if Corbin Burnes is part of the equation. So I would think based on that profile, the Orioles would fit what he's looking for, I would think. Yeah, again, finances, I don't know.
Short list of teams that are competitive in general, even shorter lists that you can confidently say are going to be contenders for the next 5 years. It's a very limited group. And then of that group, how many are willing to spend? Maybe it's all of them. Maybe it narrows it down a little bit more. But I would just hope that the Orioles are among the conversation. When we get to the offseason, and it's not going to be a day one signing by any means. We know how Scott Boras operates here. If anything, he might not sign until the season's about to start in late March. So I just hope that the entire offseason, the conversations, the reports we're hearing are that, well, it's between the Dodgers and the Orioles or the Yankees and the Orioles, whoever.
Yeah.
Need the Orioles to be in that conversation, because if the offseason starts and it's already being reported that the Orioles said bye-bye, you know, we're not even going to engage here. Now I'm going to start panicking about the new regime and their seriousness.
If they're saying bye-bye because they're going to pay Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman,
sure,
then yeah. I can accept that. But if it's hands up, we can't afford it, you know, throwing things and going to games and dancing with the Oriole bird and beautiful women on top of the dugout makes him cool for now. But if he starts crying cheap, he gets uncool, David Rubenstein, real quick in the eyes of a lot of fans. All this, well, the Orioles are looking cheap at the trade deadline, that's completely untrue. They just traded for Zach Eflin's making $18 million next year. They traded for Soto, who's signed through next year. Rodgers for two more years. Not that they're making a ton of dough, but they're bringing in players who make salaries Are they going to have to sacrifice a Mountcastle or a Mullins maybe? Could they lose Santander via free agency because he wants a 5 or 6 year deal based on his career season? Possibly, but don't publicly, like John Angelos, enjoy it while it lasts. Don't say that, or you get uncool real quick in the eyes of the fans.
So Burns and Santander, they're your two big prospective free agents. And right. I know you mentioned also in-house extensions for your core guys like Adley and Gunnar, but is it fair to say that the Orioles have to keep one of Burns and Santander? If both of them walk, the offseason is a failure.
Oh, man, that's an interesting question.
Obviously, other moves are part of the
All right, let's think about it. I know we're coming up on the top of the hour. We'll just look at, all right, from a Burns perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the ifs. Grayson comes back healthy and ready to become a number one starter. You got Eplin. You got Rogers. You got Kramer, who, by the way, is creeping up on arbitration. I want to get paid status, too. So you have a nice little core there. Bradish, Wells, if they come back, it's not till what, mid-season next year?
Yeah.
John Means is a free agent, by the way. There's no in-house candidates to come up from the farm, we don't think. I mean, McDermott's dealing with, you know, shoulder stuff. Unless Povich, who pitches tonight, pitches his ass off down the stretch. You can kind of work with that. You lose Taters. I mean, Kerstad's, he's a left-handed power guy. Currently on the shelf because of, you know, getting hit in the head a month or so ago by the Yankees. But he's not a defensive asset right now. Looks like a liability defensively to a lineup that's challenged now. I mean, you expect more growth from Adley, certainly from Jackson Holliday and Gunnar. Mayo's going to be an asset offensively. I think they're both key. I don't know, man.
Well, without,
how about both?
Yeah.
Can we get greedy?
I'll take that. Without seeing the final figures, obviously it remains to be seen what both those guys end up signing for. But just right now, I absolutely think they have to keep at least one of them for the offseason to be a success.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, NFL Lunch next. American League East Report, 115. And then Jerry Palm, talk a little college football with him as the season starts tomorrow in Dublin with Florida State, Georgia Tech. A little ACC tussle.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.